Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced by David Clark. This episode is entitled The State of Things. There are three parts to this episode. The first part is called The State of Things. The second part is called You There. And the third part is called Saving the Shark.
This is Karen Werner, creating this dispatch from Bergen, Norway. Today, it was a very pea soup foggy day, kind of like living in a cloud. I'm staying in a sublet overlooking the town of Bergen. Got stuck here, but it's an okay stuck. The state of things as I see them. The state of things. I'm spending a lot of time in this wonderful sublet that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 plants. And they are on the windowsill, and basically my portal to the world is these windows overlooking Bergen from this hill perch. Bergen is kind of like a glacial remain. It's like a glacial valley. I mean, all this news, the state of things. What more is there to say about the state of things? On the one hand, I'm living with 23 houseplants, very beautiful, different shapes, teardrop, tiny little palm trees, cactus, that's kind of like a worm, wonderful patterns on leaves that are tall and thin, a spider plant that curls and sends off babies. One that was very wilted and has come back to life. One with really cool, long shoots. Very tender, thin pine. Another plant that has holes in it, in leaves, as if they were paper cut out. Recently, I was on a listserv for performance artists, and the prompt for the week is to research a plague, broadly defined, that happened at some point where you live, and try and find any markers, historical markers of that plague. Bergen had the Black Plague, what is known as the Black Plague, in around 1349, as I look out the window from my sublet with its 23 plants, the state of things, I have a view of this port where the Black Plague entered in the ships that were bringing goods, I think from England, and the rats and the fleas on the rats got into the grains and came into the city, and vast, vast numbers of Bergen population died. The state of things, the state of things. There is one that's incredibly soft fern, somewhere between a fern, a cross between a fern and a baby pine. So wispy. There's another one that has a really cool pattern that looks like it could be the back of a frog. Worrying about loved ones seeing suddenly the names of people dying. All the rich people getting tested. Everyone else not getting tested. The state of things. Having to talk frankly, beginning to talk frankly with my elder parent about different scenarios while I'm more or less stuck in Norway and she is in the US. This one, it looks like it should have vanilla beans dangling off of it. There were no markers that I could find here in Bergen for the plagues of the past. This plant, and this plant, and this plant, and this plant. I stare out the window. I have spent all the days by myself for the last 2 weeks. I have spoken to one human being, more or less. I ran into someone on the street. Fear, unconscious fear of death. I've been doing a sound meditation, saying the sacred syllable, ah. This virus, this corona, COVID-19, which falls apart at the appearance and the touch of soap and water, it just breaks apart. Who,
ah. Grandma Belle, I cannot see you now because of the virus. I miss doing, like, some stuff with you. I miss making Play-Doh with you. And I wish that you could come here someday. I want a whistle. I actually whistled.
For real?
Listen to the sounds.
You there?
Yeah. So, yeah, what were you saying?
Listen to these sounds.
I don't know what to do.
Okay, what do you want me to say?
Then again.
You there?
Does anyone?
It's the first day of spring and trying to find the spring clues.
We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, September. Like there's just no future. And what kind of people are we going to be?
A letter to my future self after the COVID-19 pandemic is over. I'm sitting outside right now on the back porch of Bobby's house, and the sun is really bright in a very blue sky. And it's honestly a beautiful day. What day is it? March 21st, I believe. Unless it's the 20th or the 22nd. It's all the same nowadays. One long day. Just been one long day that gets dark and then bright and then dark and then bright and then dark and then bright and then dark and then bright.
Dear virus, how long has it been now? Couple of weeks, couple of months, depending on when you start counting. I mean, I remember in January when I was flying back to my family after a contract in another province. I was the first I heard of anything. a man that I'd been on a flight with, was an infectious disease expert, and upon landing, he mentioned something about having to do a spot on CTV. And there he was when I got home. I looked it up, talking about this coronavirus, Wuhan province in China. Like I said, it was the first that I'd heard of it. But I figured, if it was on the news, I mean, the mainstream news, it was either something that was being totally blown out of proportion, or something that was about to erupt.
As of this morning, we have a total of 688 cases.
Here in the UK, 43 new cases were confirmed today.
And in Spain, the number is now dropped by 6,500.
Thailand, Ecuador, where there have been confirmed 6 new cases of the coronavirus, bringing the national total to 25.
Hi, Felicia from the future. It's Felicia from the end of March. And things in Bangkok here so far are pretty topsy-turvy. At least right now, it's not so bad. There might be a total lockdown. I want you to remember that you're never alone because your friends and family have come through for you in so many ways. And find time in your future days to reach out to people like your grandmothers who are by themselves and need more help than we realize.
Grandma Belle, I miss you because I can't not see you now. I miss you. And I want to make a cake with you.
Hi, Nat. It's Grandma Belle. I miss you so much. Next time we get together, we will make a beautiful cake. Very colorful, just the way you like it. I love you. Miss you. Hi, Lala. I miss you so much. You're right. We cannot see each other because of this virus. But when it's over, we will get together and make lots of Play-Doh. I heard your whistle. Sounds so beautiful. Bravo. I love you, Lala.
Wherever you are now, future self, I hope that it is in a place that is as beautiful as this sunny day. Love you. See you. Bye.
I've been doing a residency here at the KHMS, an international artist residency, with a number of other international artists. Since the viruses hit the world, we have been watching from this little tiny village perched on the shore of the Hardanger Fjord in Norway. And I've been recording conversations we've been having and questions and thoughts that we have had as the crisis has unfolded.
What was it? So, okay, the question is, provided I've already answered my part, I'm going to study millenarian cults of the Brave New World. But where do you, okay, so provided that the, like, we are out of immediate danger and we go home to our respective domiciles, Where do you see yourselves after the world has mitigated this immediate crisis?
As an educator, I feel like I have to always attend to the moment. And, you know, I'm interested in culture, so I'm going to be paying attention to the larger cultural sphere that is affected, the ripples in the water of culture that happen with an event like this. And find ways to talk about it. So that's, I think that's a responsibility. I mean, I think it's also something that artists do. We're there to, you know, Marshall McLuhan's like, we're the do line. You know, we're there to pick up on things that are going to happen in the future. So in a moment like this, which is very hard to see how it unfolds and what we're going to end up with, we have to start thinking about that, like what's that future going to look like. And you know, I am actually kind of very sympathetic to this view that you know, through a crisis we actually arrive at a kind of level of consciousness that is going to have to be, you know, used somehow. This is only a kind of a dress rehearsal for climate change.
Definitely. And it's made me think a lot about, existentially, about making in these kinds of times, and like why, and if it's the right thing to do, and what it means, and if it's actually helpful or not, and the ways in which it could be helpful. It's made me think a lot about that.
But I once had this like really wonderful, super weird conversation with a couple poet friends of mine about like what we would really like to do, like in order to be of service to other people, like if we could be magical, like what would we do? And I was like, I would want to go into people's dreams and help them see themselves clearly, which is, I think, what art does when it's good and effective. Mm. So like, I think there is something really valuable in making and in pursuing that like seemingly really abstract and purposeless work, because mm-hmm. like, I don't know, self-awareness is so powerful. Like,
if it was to be of service, it would really be tremendously, extremely utilitarian. And what I would do is do an eight-hour chop, you know, and then come home exhausted completely and write and make watercolors. And that would be something that would be reserved for this sublimation almost, and this personal search for meaning. And it's odd to say that, because I realize now that like if you were to correlate this wish to be of service, it would be that my art is selfish, right? But at the same time, I hope that because I have the privilege of creating this art, that it would serve a different kind of purpose. And I'm not like a Marxist in that regard, or Maslowian or whatever, saying that like, oh, once the basic needs are met, then we can create, then there's a superstructure and, you know, a world of ideas and social engineering stuff. No, but I'm saying I think the connectedness I feel when I do physical or manual work, I feel that it's like, yeah, I can be decent at cerebral stuff. I can be decent at painting or creating or filming or shaping stories, but I think my service, just me, just my work, would be extremely utilitarian.
There's a very practical side. Like when I get back, I'm really interested in like helping like figure out ways to like be in community and like hold space for people who are, like, you know, cannot physically be anywhere other than, you know, their homes. And I think there's some really, like, exciting possibilities there. And I'm working with, like, a little weird group of publishers who are trying to put together a new press, which is really exciting, and also, like, all about issues of representation. And I think that there's, like, a good way to bring those kind of projects together, and I'm really excited about that.
Is it a shark? It looks like a shark. Yeah, it's a shark.
After these conversations in the kitchen, we would also go on walks together through the town. And if you go a little further up from where we are, you can find a little tiny beach. We were at the beach one day when I came across a shark lying on the beach itself. And upon further examination, we discovered that it was actually still alive. And Olivier and Gregory took it upon themselves to lift it up and take it back and put it in the water.
You're good people.
And I'm glad to report that when we went back, it had gone.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental spoken word radio produced by David Clark. This episode was entitled The State of Things. The first part of the episode was a collaboration between Karen Werner and David Clark. It was produced while Karen was staying in Bergen, Norway, and while David was also doing a residency in Ulvik, Norway. Part 2 was entitled You There, and it was produced by Aidan McMahon and Luca Carusa Morrow. The sound design and editing was by Aidan McMahon, and the music was by Luca Carusa Morrow and Jessica McDonald. Part 3 features Jaya Senquist, David Clark, Gregory Gann, and Olivia Brelsford Massey. It was produced and recorded at the K.H. Messen International Artist Residency in Ulvik, Norway. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com.